Begin the current daf Masechtas Bechorot daf Mem Zayin. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous daf, discussing the topic of our parak of our Mishnah regarding the laws of Bechor as they relate to a human being. So Edma, we learned, Hayuloi banim b'yisei oivet kechavim b'nizgar. If a man had sons while he was not Jewish, and then they converted. So we have a machlekes. Rabbi Yechonam, he says, ein lo b'chayr l'nachla. So as we spoke about in the previous daf, these two primary laws that we talk about regarding the laws of the firstborn, as we spoke about in our Mishnah, four different categories, regarding the laws of being the firstborn who gets a double portion of inheritance. And then there's the law of being a b'chayr l'kayin, where the halacha of pinya ben that he has to redeem and give five slum to the kayin. So Rabbi Yechonam says, regarding such a person who converted and he had children when he was not Jewish, so he doesn't have any more now the children that are going to be born to him as a Jew, to have that the firstborn would be considered b'chayr for the laws of inheritance. Rabbi Shimon Malka Shema, he disagrees, he says, no, yesh l'b'chayr l'nachla, the first Jewish child he's going to have will have the law of the firstborn for the laws of inheritance. And the Gemara explains the reasoning for their machlekes. Rabbi Yechonam Omer, ein l'b'chayr l'nachla, does not have a law of a firstborn for inheritance. T'ho havalei reishis einar. The Pasuk says, the first of his vigor, of his strength, that's the child, the Pasuk says, that, oh, he's the firstborn, he gets a double portion. Now the thing is, he already had children who were from his first vigor, his first seed, when he was not Jewish. So the first child when he's a Jew is not Reisha Sainis, it does not have a law of Bechor V'Nachla. But Rishim Malakasham, he says, no, yesh l'Bechor L'Nachla, that first Jewish child will have the laws of Bechor for inheritance, because Gersh Nisgayer, a convert who converts, he's like a newborn child, and therefore, it's like a new person, and his first child is his first vigor, his first oina, and therefore, it will have the laws of Bechor V'Nachla. Now says Gemara V'azul Tamayu, and Rabbi Yechon Yishlagaj go according to the reasoning, which is referenced in a similar machlekes. Did Malav we learned? Same case, where someone had children and he was not Jewish and he converted. This person, this man, already fulfilled his obligation of proliferating and having children. He says, no, he didn't fulfill it yet and he has to have children now that he's Jewish. I think more explains. He says, he already fulfilled his obligation because the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, says, not for nothing did Hashem create the world, rather, he formed it so that it should be settled, where there's an obligation of having children. Now, this person already fulfilled it because he had children when he was not Jewish. He says, no, he has not fulfilled his obligation because he's like a new person. This person didn't have children yet, and therefore he didn't fulfill his obligation. Now, says the Gemara Tzricha, we have to say their machlek is in both contexts. Because if we would have only said in the first context we're saying here in our sugya regarding the laws of nachla of inheritance, I would say over this says Rish Lakish that it's not going to be considered his children which he had before becoming Jewish, because the children that he had when he was not Jewish, those non-Jewish children are not in the laws of inheritance to inherit their father, who was a non-Jew, after he converts, as the Gemara says in Kedushin of Yudzayin Mabez. So therefore, we can't say that they are taking away the laws of Bechor L'Nachla, because they're not considered the laws of inheritance at all, and all the laws of inheritance only apply to his Jewish children, and therefore the first one would be considered the Bechor L'Nachla. But regarding the other halacha, I would say he would agree to Rabbi Yechonon, the obligation is that the world shouldn't be empty and desolate, that there should be people populating it. And the children that he had before became Jewish, ultimately setting the world, and therefore maybe he would agree to Rabbi Yechonon that he already fulfilled this obligation. And so to Vietnam Baha, if we only said in the context of Pervirivya, so I would say Baha come Rabbi Yechonon. Over there Rabbi Yechonon would say, oh, the non-Jewish children are considered like his children, because ultimately he did l'shevus yitzar. But regarding the context of Bechor, I would say that no, the previous children are not like his children, because they're not b'nei nachla. And maybe he would agree to Rish Lakish that the first Jewish child would have a law of Bechor l'nachla. So therefore we have to say that machlek is in both contexts, which is the same idea, but we would not have known one from the other. Now the Gemara asked on Rabbi Yechonon Tanan. We learned in our previous Mishnah Daf, Mevav Meralf, which we explained over there, the Mishnah describes in one of the categories, which we've said there's four categories regarding the differentiations in Bechor, for Nachla, and for the Kain. So the Mishnah said, Mishlo Hayula Banim, if the man never had children yet, Vanasa Isha Shekvar Yaldo, but he married a woman who already had children. Or, and this is all going to be in one category, or a different case, Aydish Shifcha Benishtachara, she had children when she was a maidservant, but then she got freed. or she had children when she was not Jewish and she converted. Now now she's having a child now when she became Jewish. So says the Mishnah, so we said the child has the laws of the firstborn for the laws of inheritance, because ultimately it's the first child of the father. But he's not going to have the laws of the firstborn for the kain, because ultimately this child is not peterechem. He's not the first child coming out of the womb of this woman. That's the one of the categories we mentioned in our Mishnah. But that the Gemara elaborates as follows. So yilodim iman. So this woman who we're saying that, okay, now that she became Jewish, she's having her first Jewish child. So we're saying that, that child is going to be the laws of Bechari for the laws of Nachl, of inheritance. Who is she married to? Who is she having this child from? If her husband is a Jewish man who never had children before. So, and it's going back on the first case, first example that the Mishnah was giving in this category. So then what are we gaining by saying that the wife is a female convert or a freed female servant, which sounds like, that's why the child is a bechor for nachla, because the children that she had when she was not Jewish or a slave are not considered significant as her children. That has the Gemara, but has nothing to do with her. Even if she was a bona fide, born and bred Jewish woman, her first children, even if she would have had children before, are not considered significant in regards to the laws of Nachla. And this first child that she's having with her husband would anyways be Bechor L'Nachla, because it's contingent on the paternity, not on the maternity, it's on the father and not on the mother regarding the laws of Bechor F'Nachla. So Elalav, Rabbi Gemara infers, obviously, when we're saying that she's having this child when she became Jewish, it's not going back on the first example of this category on someone that didn't have children yet. Because again, then there wouldn't be, we wouldn't care that she's a Geyeris or whatever. Rather, it's its own case. But what's the case talking about? Must be talking about Miger Shahoyle Bonim Vinisgayer. Must be talking about the husband himself is also a convert who had children when he was not Jewish and he converted. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. This Geyeris who had children when she was not Jewish and she converted with her husband. They had children when they were not Jewish. And now that they both became Jewish, now she's having her first Jewish child. That's the case that we're coming to say. And Vikatani, what's the Mishnah telling us? That, so although it's not Bechor for Kain, because it's not the first child coming out of her womb, but Bechor L'Nachlo, that the child will have the laws of the firstborn regarding the laws of inheritance, that's a refutation of Rabbi Yechanan. That's like Rish Lakish, who says, it's the first child for Nachlo, because it's Kekan Chanel Dami. But Rabbi Yechanan held that, no, they're considered his children, so why are we saying Bechor L'Nachlo? Says Gemara Loino. Lailam Yisrael Shlohi Laban. Truth is that it's talking about where the husband is a Jewish man who never had children before. And you're right. Regarding the laws of Bechor V'Nachla, we didn't have to say anything about Geyeris, because no matter who the wife is, even the regular Yisraelis, it's still good, and if she had children before, it would still be considered Bechor L'Nachla, because it's his first children. However, Ve'in Bechor L'Koyin Yisrochalei. We didn't say it for that case, for that part of the halacha. We were coming to say that this child's not going to have the laws of the firstborn regarding pidyon haben to give the five shlomim to the kain. That's what we wanted to tell her, that he's not a bechor l'kain. Because her first children, even when she was not Jewish, were the paiterechem. They opened up her womb. And that's lafukim de Rabbi Yisrael Glili, which was coming to preclude from the other Tana in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yisrael Glili. The Amma that he says, Bechor L'Nachla U'L'Kayin, he says that first Jewish child is not only the Bechor for the Nachla, but also for the Kayin. Shneimak says in the Pasuk, Petarechem B'Yisrael. It says that the first thing opening up her womb as a Jewish woman, which is Ad She'ifta Rechem B'Yisrael, it's only when it opens up her womb as a Jewish woman, and that's why, Kamash Mondoloi, that's what the Tana Kam was coming to say, that no, it's only Bechor L'Nachla, not Bechor L'Kayin. But you're right, for the law of Bechor L'Nachla, there's no Chiddush in Geyeris, and the Shifchush, and the Shtachar, the Nishan Nisgeira, the Chiddush was regarding that it's not Bechor L'Kayin. So the Gemara says, Toshma, to bring a different Raya, that's seemingly not like a B'Yechna. The Braisa says, Hoyle Bonim B'Yesi Evikachav Menisgarev. He had children when he was not Jewish, and then he converted. Says the Braisa, Yeshla Bechor L'Nachla. His first Jewish child will have the laws of inheritance as a firstborn. So that clearly seems to refute Rabbi Yechanan, who says that no, there's no Bechor L'Nachla regarding this case that we're describing, that he had children when he was not Jewish and he converted. So Amar Ravina, and Vitim, some say it was Rav Acha, that he said, this Braisa that says that his first Jewish child will have a law of Bechor V'Nachla, Vader Rabbi Yisrael Glili, this Tana the Braisa must be Rabbi Yisrael Glili, who he even said that regarding the obligation to give Pinya Ben to the Kayin, we consider that first Jewish child as a Bechor. Because the Amar, he said, Petarechem Yisrael, that regarding Pinya Ben, it's the first one that opens up the womb of this woman as a Jewess, which is Atshiyiv Terechem Yisrael. So therefore, V'yolef Ihu, he learns the man, the husband, Mina Dida, from the wife, from the woman, which is just like regarding her, the Pasuk tells us, that the first children that she had as a non-Jewess is not considered significant, and we consider the first children that she has as a Jewess as Petarechem, because it says Bisrael. So regarding him also, we don't consider his first children, and it's, we're going to consider as Reisha Sinai. But we're not going, Rabbi Yisraeli. Rabbi Yech was told about in the Tanakam, in the Rabbanan, there he says no, they would hold like him, which is that they wouldn't be considered Bechor, Lenachlan, and this Tana, this Bryce, is going like Rabbi Yisraeli. Now, related discussion, Amar of Ada Barava, says Levia, which is a daughter of a Levi, Shealda, when she gives birth, Benah, her firstborn son, is Patim Heislam, is exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben, of giving the five Slam to the Kai. So the Gemara wonders, Di Yaber Miman, who is she becoming impregnated from? Who is the husband? If she's married to a Kohen or a Levi, if that's who she's impregnated from regarding her firstborn son. So why does it make a difference if she's a daughter of a Levi, a fellow Israelis Nami? Even if she's a daughter of a Yisrael, we said in the first parak in the beginning of the Masechet of Gimel and Beis that as long as the husband is a Kohen or a Levi, they're exempt from Pinya Ben. So Ella Diabim Yisrael. Rather, it must be told about no, her husband is a Yisrael, and but since she's a daughter of a Levi, she's exempt. On that asks the Gemara, but Lemishbachaisam Leves Abaisam Ksim. The Pasuk in Bamidbar tells us when it talks about defining the family identity, it says according to their families, according to the household of their fathers, which we see it's the paternal family that defines the family, and not the family of the mother. So we don't go based on her family, we go based on his. And since his father is Yisrael, so why would this child be exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben to the Kohen? So Amar Papa, he says the case we're talking about is the Abba Mi'evit Kechavim. This Bas Levi that we're saying that this Bas Levi that's going to be exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben is which she became impregnated from a non-Jew, where that we don't consider any lineage for the child regarding his father, because there's no relationships that a non-Jewish father has to a Jewish child. And therefore, it's more appropriate his connection that he has to his only other parent, who is his mother, more than his father, and therefore, we consider him part of the family of the Levim, and therefore, he's going to be exempt, like a family of Levim. Now, moreover, says Rav Papa, "Valei tema," and don't say, "Aliba demand the amar im mezamen savlad," that I'm only saying this according to the one who says that we don't throw away this child, as the Gemara says, "Nivamas of mehem enough," that there is an opinion that holds that if a non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman, the child is kosher, is valid, because he doesn't have any relationship with his father, and we consider him based on the maternity of that he gets from his mother. Now, and therefore you would say, okay, that's why he's exempt from the laws of five Salam, because we consider him a Ben Leviah. That says Rav Papa, no, Ela Filaman Dama Mezam and Savlad, even according to the one that says we would make filthy this child, that we throw him and we consider him based on the paternity of his father, and we consider him the son of a non-Jew, which means to say that he's not a kosher child, even so he's going to be exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben, because Levi Posel, Mikri, he's still called a flawed Levi, because since his mother is Leviah, so he has some relationship to that family, and therefore he even says, Rabbi, even that opinion would hold that he's going to be exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben, and this is the halacha that we described, that this Leviah that has a son is going to be exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben. That's one interpretation. Marbarid Rav Yisav Amar Mishmid Rav, he says a different interpretation. He says, no, lo'ilum di abim Yisrael. We could even say that, yes, she's married to a regular Yisrael. But Bishani Hasim, there it's different. Didn't we say it's L'mishpachis L'mavesa L'mavesa? Why are we going based on the mother to exempt? We go based on the father, and the father's of Yisrael. The laws of the firstborn is different. The Amakra, Petarechem, the Torah says, the opening of the womb. The Petarechem, Tal Rechman, the Torah makes a contingent on the mother's womb, and since she is a Leviah, so therefore, just like Kan and Leviam are exempt, so too regarding the laws of giving the five slums to the Kayin, if the mother is a Leviah, then the child's going to be exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben. Now, however, the Gemara asks, we had two interpretations in this halacha. The Gemara Tznan from our Mishnah, which again we explained on the previous daf, Mevam and Aleph, the Mishnah said, Misha Hagiloi Bonim, if he had children already once before, but Vanasa Isha Shalo yalad, and this is the other category in the Mishnah. And he married a woman who she never had children before. Or, a different case that will fit into this category, is Nizgaira Mu'baris. If she converted when she was pregnant, or Nishtachra Mu'baris, or she was freed from being a maidservant when she was pregnant, or, taking out the Vav, Yalada hi v'kehanis. She gave birth, and at the same time, a kehanis, who is exempt, and they're in the same room, we don't know whose is whose child, or Hiva Leviya, Haran a Leviya gave birth at the same time, or Hiva Isha Shekvar Yalda, or this first time mother is giving birth at the same time as a woman who had many children already, but again, the children get mixed up, we don't know whose child is whose baby in this dark room. Or another case, a woman who didn't wait 3 months after she had left her first husband, and she got married right away in the beginning of that marriage, she gave birth. Now, it's not known in Ben Teslerishan, did she conceive from her first husband, and this is 9 months since she was married to her first husband? In Ben Zayin La'achim, we don't know if it's a 7 month full term fetus, a baby from the second husband. So all these cases, says the Mishnah, b'char l'kayin, this child that she's going to have, which is her firstborn, it's the first child coming out of her womb, will have the laws of b'char to the kayin, so he'll have to redeem himself with five slum. But v'ein b'char l'nachla, there's no laws of firstborn for the laws of inheritance, because we don't know who the father is of this child, which that's the chiddush that we're saying, that even though when he gets mixed with those that are exempt from the laws of pinya ben, because whether the other child is from a kohenes, a levi, or a woman that already had given birth times before, still, the man who's married to the Yisraelis is going to be obligated to go ahead and give, because ultimately his child doesn't know which one it is, and therefore none of them are going to be his bukhar for nachla, but he has to go ahead and give to the kohen anyway, because whichever child it is, five slum because of his firstborn child. But says the Gemara, mechlal, the inference is, to kohenes v'leviya peturin. We're saying that, okay, the one who's married to the Israelis, he has to give, even though it was mixed up with those who are exempt from giving. What's those cases? Where if she's a Kehenist, or she's a Leviya, which the assumption of the Gemara right now is, when we're saying Kehenist, we mean a Bas Kayin. The other lady giving birth over there, it's her firstborn, but she's a daughter of a Kayin, or she's a daughter of a Levi, and that they would be exempt. So on that, asks the Gemara, Diabe Miman. Who is this Kehenist Leviya pregnated from? If her husband is a kohen or levi, sayachi, my iri kenes v'leviya, then why are we saying that this other woman is a bas kohen, a bas levi, a filibas Yisrael nami? Even if she's a daughter of Yisrael, she would still be exempt from laws of pinya ben, because her husband is a kohen or levi. Ella, rather, the abim oivik gacham, you're going to say, oh, it means to say she, because her husband's not relevant. Her husband's not a Jewish man. She was impregnated from a non-Jew. And therefore, we won't go based on him, we'll go based on her, because she's a Kehenis Olivia. But then the question is, Kehenis Petura? Because the case we were discussing before was with Levia. But this is also one of the cases in our mission is Kehenis. Would a Kehenis be exempt from the laws of firstborn if she was impregnated by a non-Jew? But Vam Rapapa himself had said, Badiklan Rabba. Rabba had tested us in Halachas, and he asked us the following case. Kehenis Shinis Abba Ma'evik Achav Ma'u. What would happen if a Kohenis, a Bas Kohen, was impregnated from a non-Jew? Would her son be exempt from the laws of Bechayr or not? Now, Vamina Leis, says Rabbah, and I said to Rabbah, Lav Haina Dravad Barabbah, isn't this the halacha that we were discussing in our sugi now of Ravad Barabbah? Dhamma that he said, Leviya Sheyoldo, a Leviya that gave birth, Bena Pati Mecham Shlam, that her son is exempt from the laws of five Slam, which is just like, And that's actually how Rav Papa had actually qualified this halacha. That's why we're going based on the husband, because he's a non-Jew. And just like Levi is exempt, so to Kehenis is the same thing. She's from a family of those that are exempt. And he will go maternal because the paternity has no relevancy. And he said to me, no, Hachi Hashta, can you compare the two cases? Bishlem Leviya, we understand regarding a Bas Levi. Bikdusha Sekaima, she maintains her sanctity even though she had relations with a non-Jewish man. And therefore, when we're going to go ahead and discuss her son that she has after that, we're going to say he's like a flawed Levi, but ultimately like a Levi, and therefore be exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben, like the halacha is regarding Leviyim. Because the Tanya like learned the Braisa, Leviya Shenishbis. If a Bas Levi was taken to captivity, or she nivela bilaznos, or she had immoral relations with a forbidden man, Still, says the Braisa, that just like the law is Maisa Rishon is given to the Levim, so this Bas Levi, she could have also from Maisa Rishon and she could eat it. She doesn't lose that status of the family of Levim. But El Kehenes, but regarding a Bas Koyin, and the Gir says, Kivin de Ivalole, once she has relations with a non-Jewish man, Hav Yezara, she actually becomes a foreigner, she loses her status as from the family of Kehanim. As the Gemara says, Nivamas Av Samachesim Anaf, the Gemara says over there, how do we know that a Kehanis Leviya or Yisraelis that has relations with a non-Jewish man or a slave, that they become invalidated? So the Pasuk says, Uvas Koyin Kisila Ishzar. When the daughter of a Kohen will be with a foreign man, which tells us that once she has relations with someone that's forbidden to her, she becomes invalidated, she becomes a Zara. Now, as Rashi points out, although there the halacha, there is also talking about not just a Bas Kohen, but a Bas Levi, but that's only that the Bas Levi becomes invalidated from having permissibility if she marries a Kohen from taking Truma, which because she can't marry a Kohen, because she becomes flawed. But regarding the laws of Levium, she does not become invalidated. Now, so therefore the Gemara's question is, since this Bas Koyin, if you're saying the case is being described that she became impregnated from a non-Jewish man, so actually she becomes a Zara. She becomes a non-Koyin. So actually now, her son actually would be obligated in giving 5 shlamim to the Koyin. So therefore, obviously the halacha of our Mishnah cannot be talking about that she was impregnated from a non-Jew, because then actually there would be a chiv, and you can't say that this regular Israelis got mixed up with the child of the Kehanis, because that Kehanis, actually her son, would be chayv, so they would both be chayv. So why would the Mishnah be describing that as a case that you got mixed up with a pasul, with a chiv and a pater, it actually both would be chayv. So therefore the Gemara concludes his question. It says, Hanich lemarbere de Rav Yisim ishmei de Rava. We could understand the way Rava had qualified this teaching of Rav Ada. Damar di Abba Yisrael. He was saying, what's this case talking about that the Leviya, her child, is going to be exempt from the laws of Pinyin, and it says, what's the husband? So he says, yeah, no, the husband could be a regular Yisrael. But still he said that we go based on the mother, because of Petarechem, so Mukila, so therefore he'll explain also this case in the Mishnah too, but the Abim Yisrael, where we have this Kehenes Ulevia, who is impregnated from Yisrael, and because Petarechem is totally in the mother, therefore the child is going to be a Pater, and that's what we're saying, the Halach of our Mishnah, that we have a Chiv that got mixed up with a Pater. But Rav Papa, my Mukila, how's Rav Papa going to explain the Halach of the Mishnah? As we said, it doesn't pertain to the laws of that he doesn't hold to this interpretation that if the husband's Yisrael, he holds that actually then it would be Chayiv in Pinya Ben. But it can't be told either the way we describe the case of Leviya, Shenivel La'akim, because that only is possible by Leviya. But by Kohenis, paradoxically, actually it gets inverted and actually becomes Chayiv in Pinya Ben because she becomes a Zara now. So says the Gemara, La'ilim di Abba Mikain. Truth is, he would have to say the halacha that was saying with this Kohenis, that her child is Pater and got mixed up in the dark over here with this child of this Yisraelis, is actually talking about where her husband is a Kohen. Because actually, a Bas Kohen that did not become impregnated from a Kohen actually would not be exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben. Because yes, he holds that we don't go based on the mother, not like that interpretation that's O Peter Rechem. The only case you could have that would go based on the mother is, like we said before, is when you have a Leviya that's impregnated from a non-Jew. Because we don't go based on the father because he's not Jewish. And the Leviya herself does not become losing her status of a Leviya by having this forbidden relations with this non-Jewish man. Then we'll go based on the mother. But here we're not talking about Leviya, we're talking about the other cases of Kehanis. So actually she's impregnated from a Kohen. And really, Vibas Yisrael, this that we're calling her Kehanis, she's actually the daughter of Yisrael. So if I'm my Kohen Kehanis, and why are we calling her Kehanis? Dibna Kohen, because her son is a Kohen, meaning because her husband is a Kohen. We're calling her Kehanis based on her husband, based on her child, and therefore she's exempt. You're right, because of the husband, not because of herself. And therefore it's not a difficulty on her papa, because we're not talking about a case of a Kehanis, because that wouldn't be able to fit with his interpretation of Nivel La'akum, because actually by Kehanis, that Bas Kohen actually loses her status of Kohenim. Like Mark continues on the base with a related discussion, which will also relate back to Halacha by Mishnah, it might be learned as follows. Kain Shemes, a Kain who passes away, Venir Ben Chol, he leaves over a child who is a Chol, which is when this Kain had a forbidden marriage, Grusha, Chalutza, so his son doesn't have the law of a Kain, he's considered a Chol, which is a desecrated child, which actually has Halacha like Yisrael, doesn't have Halacha of Kohuna, and actually, that child, since he's not a ben kain, he's not a kain, would actually be obligated in the laws of bechira of firstborn to give to a kain 5 shlamim. Now, regarding this case, when the father passed away, So Rav Chisda, he says, Haben chayv liftis es atzmai. So the father's not around. The son has to go ahead and redeem himself. Which, because he has the obligation of pinya ben. If the father didn't do it, the child himself has to redeem himself. Rabbi Barav Huna Amar, he says, no, in chayv liftis es atzmai, he doesn't have to redeem himself. And the Gemara qualifies the machleik. It says, Kol eicha de meisa av la'achar shleishim, if the father died after the child was already 30 days old, which 30 days old is when the obligation of the mitzvah of pinya ben begins, like it says in Bamidbar Yudches, ufiduyim meben chaydish, the redemption is when he's 1 month old. So says the Gemara, the kul emale pligi, no one's going to disagree in that case. The ena ben chayv liftis es atzmai, that the son doesn't have to redeem himself. Why? Sharei zacha av bepidyoyne. The father already merited in the redemption, meaning, even if the father would have given the pinya ben for this child who's obligated in pinya ben because he's not a kohen, he's a chal, like a Yisrael, the father would have just separated from one pocket and put it into the other pocket, taken it for himself because he's a kohen. And the kohen gets it and he could give it to himself, which usually you don't have because the son of a kohen is usually exempt, but here you have where the ben chal would be obligated. So since the father already merited in that redemption, so he bequeaths that to his son with all the other assets and the son gets to keep it. Their whole machlikus was if the father died before the child was 30 days old. Rav Chisda amar haben chayv liftis es atzmai. So Rav Chisda says, so the child has to redeem himself. Why? The father never merited in this redemption money because the father wasn't alive when the obligation even started. The son was only obligated after the father passed away, and therefore this is an obligation on himself, and he's not a kain, so he has to give it to some kain, which would be some other kain. His father's not around, he can't give it to his father, so therefore he has the obligation to redeem himself. But Rabbi Barav Hunam, he says, no, ena ben chayev liftis es atzmai. He says, no, still the son's not obligated to redeem himself, because the Amar Lei, this chalal, could tell to any kain, he could say, asin mekayach gavra, I'm coming from the strength of a person, meaning my father who is a kain, that you can't litigate with him, because if my father would have redeemed me, he would have taken redemption money for himself. And since I'm coming from his estate, from his assets, from his strength, therefore, just like he's not obligated, so too I'm not going to be obligated. Now, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Rav Huna's interpretation, it's not from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Niskayru mu'uberes, where again it was discussing these different categories where it could be b'chayr for nachla and not for kain, or kain not nachla, or both, or none. So the Mishnah said, if niskayru mu'uberes, if this woman who never gave birth before and she converted when she was pregnant, so the child that she has now that she's Jewish is b'chayr l'kain. So he's considered firstborn for the laws of the kain of pinya ben, because ultimately it's a petarechem, it's the first child that she's having, and now that she's Jewish, she has to give those five slum to the kain. And that has the Gemara, but vamai, why? Lemele, let this child say to any kain who wants to get the five slum, asinim kayach gavad lemetzis lishdu nedinabade, the same logic we just said before, when even though his father is dead by the time his obligation starts, but he could say, oh, I'm coming from the strength of someone who you would not be able to litigate with him, so therefore I'm not obligated. So here too, his father who's not Jewish, also you wouldn't be able to litigate with him. So that should exempt him. Why is he obligated? Says the Gemara, no, shani evikachavim, when the father is not Jewish, that's different to lesli chayis. Because regarding this Jewish son, he has no relationship whatsoever. He's not considered a descendant of him. And therefore, he's not coming from his strength as if he's a derivative of the father, because to the contrary, he's considered like a brand new child, not related to that father at all. And therefore, he can't come with this claim and say, well, I'm coming from someone that you wouldn't be obligated. He's not coming from that. We don't see that paternity. And therefore, he's obligated in the pinya ben. Now, the Gemara tells the Amr b'Shimon Yasinya, Amr b'Shimon ben Lakish, he says like the pinya of Rav Chisda. He says, Kain shemeis p'teich shleishim. If the Kain died when the son was still before 30 days old, v'nich ben chol, and he leaves over this son who is a desecrated child, so haben chayiv liftis es atzmai, again, like Rav Chisda, that the son is obligated to redeem himself, because ultimately the father never was in the obligation to say that the father was zoicha, because shalei zocha av b'pidyoyne, the father never merited the redemption money. But meis lachar shleishim yom, there we said everyone agrees, if the father died after the child was already 30 days old, then ein ben chayav liftis atzmai, then this child does not have to redeem himself, shalei zocha av b'pidyoyne, because the father already merited the redemption money, and now the son inherits that from his father. Now the Mishnah continued and said, v'chemi shalei shasa achri b'ay legim chadasha b'chulu. Also, one of the cases that we spoke about, where it's not going to be a b'char for nachla, but it's going to be a b'char for the kain, because ultimately this woman never gave birth before, but she was married to one man. Then she left and she got married to another man, but she didn't wait the appropriate 3 months to be able to discern the paternity of this child. Now we don't know Is this a 9-month child from the first husband, 7 months from the second one? We don't know. So he doesn't have the laws of Bechor v'Nachla, but Bechor v'Kayin, because it's her firstborn anyway. Now, the Gemara asks, so Bechor l'Nachla, who do they have? It sounds like from the Mishnah that, okay, this child's not going to have the laws of the firstborn for the laws of inheritance. But HaKapasha Shakla, but what he does take like a regular son from his father? But Vamai, but why? Let him go to the children of the first woman, the first husband that his mother was married to, and they'll push him away and they'll say, hey, he's not your father. And he'll go to the children of the second father and they'll say, he's not your father, meaning, so why are you saying he's just not a bechor for nachla? He doesn't have any nachla whatsoever. So Amar B'Yimriya, he says, you're right. We didn't need this halacha of the Mishnah that tells us that he's not a bechor for nachla. It's the relevancy was for the son that comes after him. Meaning, you're right. This suffix, he doesn't take anything from either father, which we don't know which is his father, because the sons of the first one say, no, this first one was not your father. And so to the second ones, they say, no, the second wasn't your father either. But the relevancy of Bechor for Nachla was for the second son. And this is what the Mishnah was saying. Bechor l'kayin, this suffix, which we don't know who is his father, either way you look at it, there's an obligation of giving the 5 slum to the Kohen because he is Peterechim, he's the first one opening up the womb of his mother. So therefore he has to redeem himself. Not the father, because we don't know who the father is. But V'haba Acharav, and the son that's born after him, the second one, Ein Bechor L'Nachla. There, that second son, there's not going to be a law of inheritance for the fathers, because the brothers will tell the second son that no, that suffix, he is the son of our father, at least out of doubt. And you're not the Bechor, so you're not getting a double portion. So the relevancy was right, not for the first one, but for the second son, that he doesn't get. But the Gemara wonders, but why? Let the suffix, who we're not sure if he's the firstborn of the first husband or the second husband, and the child who was born after him by either father, let them go ahead and write what's called a harsha, a permissibility of collections, for each one on the other one's portion. And then let one of them go and claim to be the firstborn and say, look, either way, if I'm the firstborn, then give it to me because I'm the firstborn. And if my brother is the firstborn because I'm really from the other father, then give me that brother's portion because either me or it's him, and he give me permission to collect for him. And says the Gemara, and v'chitim, if you're going to say that you're right, masnit and shalei bar shah, our Mishnah was just talking about when they didn't write that permission of collections. And that's what the Mishnah was saying. If they didn't write the harshois, then there's no law of b'chor v'nachla, obviously not for the first one, but even for the second one. But on that says the Gemara, you can't say that because of makmin la kaman, but the Gemara tells us on the next daf, the bar shah, where the next Mishnah on daf memches and mebeis, Shmuel says, it's talking about Beba Bar Shah, where he's coming with a permission of collections from the other one. So we see that that's our Mishnayos are talking about that our Shah was written. So obviously our Mishnah, which is saying that there is no Bechor L'Nachla, is obviously saying that no, our Shah wouldn't work at all. But why? Why can't they say either way, Maman of Shach, it's either me or it's this other one? It says the Gemara Masayel Rabbi Yannai. So obviously this halacha, the Mishnah supports Rabbi Yannai, because Rabbi Yannai said, which is brought on Baba Bastard of Kavchav Zayin and Aleph, he says, Hukru ulabsev nisarvu. If they were initially recognized, but then they got mixed up. For example, you have two women from two different men who, right during at the birth, it was recognized who is which child. But then in the mix up, in the darkness, whatever was going on, they got mixed up. Now, when they're coming to go ahead and inherit from either fathers, so the brothers of either one is rejecting them. And each one is saying, no, you're not our brother. And you're not necessarily our brother. You have to prove that you're our brother. So that's where Rabbi Yannai says, each one could write to the other one a permission to collect his portion in his father's assets. Now the one who's holding that harsha comes to the inheritance, to the inheritors of both fathers. And he says to each one as follows. He says, look, if I'm your brother, then give it to me because I'm the brother. If that other one's your brother, then give me his portion because he wrote me Arsha that I could collect for him, and so it goes to the sons of the other one. But that's only if they were first recognized and then they got mixed up. But loy hukru, but if they were never initially recognized, even in the moment of birth, no one realized whose child. And the Girsa takes out the words of Besef Nesarvu. In Kaisvin Harsha Zelazeh, then they can't write Harsha one for the other because they never had the merit as a possession in the assets of their father, because they were never initially recognized to ever have had something there that then they just got confused, and then you correct harsha. And therefore the halacha of our Mishnah is the same idea. It was never recognized at all. We never knew which one is the firstborn, because we don't know who's the father, because we don't know the paternity. And therefore, he never had a schus at all in the chazaka of the Bechaira to go ahead and do a harsha with the other one, because we don't know who's who. It's not like we knew and then we got confused. Since it was never known, therefore they can't write a harsha one for the other, and therefore that's what the Mishnah said in the absolute term, that in this case, there's not going to be a Bechaira l'nachla. Again, the chiddush is not for the first one, because he doesn't get anything, but for the second one, that he also doesn't get as the law of a Bechaira. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the third category of this idea regarding Bechor Fanachla and Kayin, says the Mishnah, Ezehu Bechor Lanachla Ulakayin. What's the Chiddush case of that we're saying that we can have a child who's going to be a firstborn for the laws of inheritance and of being a Kayin, which obviously a regular firstborn has that, but we're saying that as a novelty. So the Mishnah says, Hamapelish Shfir. If a woman miscarries the fetus itself, the skin of the fetus, but it's Moli Maim, but it's not filled with like a regular human, it's just filled with water, or moli dam, or filled with blood, or moli genino, full of different colors, or hamapelis kimin dagim mechagavim mishkatzim beremasim, or if a woman miscarries something that looks like fish, or grasshoppers, or vermin, or creepy creatures, which they're not considered a child. And the Gemara in Masech Desnidid Afchav Beis Mabez explains, because although when we say by behema chayiv o'efis, we say that there are those who want to say that that is considered a child, but regarding these creatures, it doesn't say the terminology of yitzira, of formation, like it says regarding the human being. By animals, it does. So therefore, we'll consider that on some level like a child, even though it looks like this other creature. But by these creatures, there's no yitzira, and therefore it's not considered like a child at all. Or v'hamapelis liyam arbam, if a woman miscarries, but up until day 40 of her pregnancy, so then we consider that thing as just water itself, until the next day, on day 41, because you have to complete a 40 days of conception to be considered a full-fledged child. So, after miscarrying these elements, the child that's born after that will still have the laws of inheritance and of pinyat ben as the firstborn child. Because the first one wasn't considered anything, as it wasn't petarechem, wasn't b'chor l'nachlo, wasn't anything. Now, the fourth category, says the Tanna Kamma, is yetzer dafen. The first child was born through cesarean, meaning through the walls, the abdominal walls of the mother, and v'habo acharab, the child that comes after that through a natural vaginal birth through the womb. So shneim ein b'chor. Both of them are not going to be a firstborn, loy l'nachla, loy l'kayin. Not for the laws of inheritance and not for the laws of kuna, as the Gemara is going to right away explain this. But Rabbi Shimon, he disagrees. He actually says, Harishon l'nachla, the first one will have the laws of Bukhar for the laws of inheritance, Vashin l'chamish l'am, and the second one will actually have the laws of Bukhar for the laws of Penya Ben, of giving the five slum to the kain. So the Gemara explains this halacha of the Tanna Kamma. He says, Rishon l'nachla loy, the first child who was born through cesarean will not be considered a Bukhar for the laws of inheritance, because the Pasuk in Devarim says, V'yoldu loy be'inon. Says that it would be born for him, you need it to be the way of Leda, of birth, which is through the normal birth canal, which didn't happen. So he's not a Bechor for Nachal. And also, L'chamish Shlam Nami Lo, he's also not going to have the obligation of the five Shlam to the Kayin, because the Pasuk in Shema is Peter Rechem Bina. It has to be the one who opens up the womb, which is through the vaginal canal, which you're not having, because he was born through cesarean. So you don't have the laws of Pinyan Ben either. Now, Shani, and now regarding the second son, who was born a regular way, he doesn't have the laws of Bukhari for the laws of inheritance, because the Pasuk in Devarim says, you need it to be the first of his vigor, and this second child is second, it's not the first of his vigor. So he's not the Bukhari for Nachla. And L'chamish Lam Nami Lo, he's also not the Bukhari for the laws of Pinya Ben, because Kesav, the Tanna Kamma holds, Bukhari L'davar Echad. If someone is a firstborn just for one element, like this child, who he is a firstborn in some element, that is the firstborn born vaginally through the uterus, but he's not the firstborn for the laws of children, because there was a male child born before him, albeit through cesarean. So when you have a Bukhar for Davar Echad, he considers the law of Bukhar. That doesn't give him the laws of a firstborn, and therefore he's not going to have the laws of Pinya Ben. So therefore both are in this last category of not Bukhar L'Nachla and not Bukhar L'Kayin. Now, as our Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon Aime, he says, no, actually, Harishon L'Nachla, the first one is considered Bukhar for inheritance, Vashen L'Chamish Lam, and the second one is considered Bukhar for the laws of Pinya Ben. As the Gemara explained, Rabbi Shimon L'Tamei, because he goes according to his reasoning, the Amr that he says in Pesachdus Nidid of Mem Amidal, the Pasuk says in Yikra, when it talks about in Parashas Tazria, the laws of Tumas Leidim, it says, V'in the Keva Teled. If a woman's going to give birth to a female, so there's 14 days of Tumah, and then there's another 66 days of Tahara, that all her blood is tar. But the extra word Teled tells us, L'rabis Yetzer Daifin, it's coming to include a different type of a birth, which is, it's considered of bona fide birth, even if the child was born through Caesarean. And therefore, she's going to have all the laws of Leda, of Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tahara. So therefore, also in our context regarding the laws of Nachla, where it also says, V'yoldu Loi, when it says birth, will also consider that a Yetzer Daifin will also be considered a bona fide birth, because he learns that from that context where Teled says including Yetzer Daifin. So to over here, B'yaldullah will also include Yetzer Daifin. So therefore, this Yetzer Daifin has the laws of Leida for Nachla, which says B'yaldullah. Now, but obviously, he's not considered the firstborn for Pinya Ben, because it says Peterech. And Vashen L'chamishlam, but the second son will have the laws of Bechar for the laws of Pinya Ben, because Kesav Reb Shimon holds, B'char L'davar Echad, someone who is considered firstborn for one element, like this second one, who is a firstborn in the element that he's vaginally the firstborn, which is actually the halacha of Pinya Ben, which is Peterech, and the first one opening up the womb, which he is, have a B'char, that he's considered a firstborn for the laws of a Kain, for giving the five slum to the Kain. Now, however, the first one, again, although he's also B'char L'davar Echad, because he's the first child that was born, and even the firstborn of male, but still, he can't be considered b'chor for kain, because, as we said, the Torah says peterech, it has to be the one opening of the womb. He didn't come through the vaginal canal, he came through the stomach, and therefore, obviously, he can't be considered b'chor for the five slum, and therefore, again, he'll be for nachla, but the second one will have, although he's b'chor only davar echad, but that's enough to be b'chor l'kain, and therefore, the second son would be the obligation of pinya ben to give to the kain.